بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear mu'mineen and mu'minat, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One of the very good traditions and sunnah which is quite common among the believers in the month of Ramadan is that they give iftari to each other, and that is inviting each other to their houses for iftar. In the month of Ramadan, we are all the guests of Allah, and Allah likes feasts and inviting His servants to His feast. And hence, He would like to see His servants also follow the same tradition and act. Today, we would like to think about this. Why iftar is very important? Why we have been advised to invite our friends and relatives? And why we have been advised to accept other people's invitations? In fact, why holding feasts and gatherings are very important in Islam? We would like to talk about this stuff in this program, inshallah ta'ala. So stay with us. Islam advised people to go to each other's houses and meet each other regularly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam states in an hadith that the house to which no guest enters, the angels of Allah would not also enter. It's been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam would have been sad and upset if for more than a week his house was without a guest. Also, our Prophet and Imams have advised us to pay a lot of respect to our guests. A hadith states that whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, they should respect and adore their guests. Also, we have in our Islamic teachings that with guests, blessing and barakah enter the house of the host. If all these advices and blessings and rewards are for the people who invite guests to their house, then this reward would be a lot more if the guests are fasting. Therefore, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states that whoever gives iftar to a mu'min, Allah will forgive the sins of 1 year for him. And whoever gives iftar to two believers and mu'min, Allah will place him in paradise. So we need to think about this. Why there are so much reward associated with iftar feasts and parties.
Ramadan, although it may seem like the time where all we do as Muslims is fast from everything, we give everything up, we don't do or touch or eat anything. In fact, Ramadan is one of also of the most generous times, as when the fast is broken of an evening, everybody does nothing but give and give and give. And this, personally, as a revert to the religion, was something which I found to be so amazing, something which I rarely saw from my own culture, just this unconditional generosity. Even people that I'd never met before, if I met them in a mosque or out in the street or even at work, once they found out I was Muslim and fasting with them, they did nothing but show me generosity and welcoming and thankfulness and everything. And it was a fantastic time for me to really appreciate and to understand in an even deeper level how Islam truly was and how generous Islam as a religion and how loving Islam is as a religion can be. And my first fast, my first Ramadan, I must admit, was definitely one of the most memorable times of my life. In fact, everything in that I've experienced in the religion so far, everything from my actual reversion to when I first met my Muslim friends, to when I first fasted, to my first visit to a mosque, to my first salat, everything that I've experienced in the religion so far, I can honestly say with my hand on my heart that it's been fantastic. It's honestly, I'm speaking to you very directly, it's honestly the greatest feeling that I've ever had to revert. Without a doubt, I can say it's been the best decision of my life, and my life has improved to such a dramatic amount that it's very hard for me to express how I feel. But Islam, the bottom line, the best way I can explain it is Islam is the greatest religion on this earth, in my opinion. And my first fast was definitely the best time for me. Every Ramadan since, I've fasted to the best of my ability, and every Ramadan I feel as if I've improved slightly each time, and inshallah ya Rab, I will be doing my very best to improve in the next Ramadan, during where I'll be doing my very best to improve as I've improved in my previous Ramadans, and inshallah this Ramadan I'm doing my very best, and alhamdulillah everything is going nicely.
The purpose of every feast, as we discussed in the beginning of the month, is to establish a good connection and relationship between the host and the guests, and between the guests themselves. And this is exactly why we have been invited to the feast of Ramadan. Allah wants us to boost our friendship and proximity with Him, and hence He would like His servants to boost their relationship with each other in this month too. Therefore, holding feast and giving iftar is to create a sense of love, friendship and bond between people. The aim of giving iftar is to create a sense of unity and oneness among all the Muslimin. Rich and poor, young and old, men and women would sit around one table and eat from the same food. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad ya Muslimin sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. I'd like to welcome you back, and really to go back to where we left off yesterday. You see, our discussion was on that basis that we need to, or at least I or those individuals who are looking for certainty, who want to live their lives in certainty and not to live their lives in doubt, you need to do a couple of things. You know, what is life if you spend the rest of your existence, the next 10 years, let's say 20 years, and then after that in your grave, and again when you go into your grave you're affected by the way that you led this life? So it's almost as if this life are the seeds. So you plant the seeds, and then the trees and the fruit which are born out of these seeds are seen within your grave, and again on the day of judgment, and furthermore when you go into heaven, or, you know, God forbid if anyone goes to hell, even then for a believer, let's say there's a temporary period in hell, and then you go towards heaven. And the philosophy really about hell, or this idea of going into chastisement, is really the idea that you are cleaning and cleansing and removing the stains from your heart. It's a purification process. But nevertheless, it's important for us in this life to attain certainty, because as we mentioned, what is the point of going through life uncertain? Is there a God? Is there such thing as heaven and hell? Does something happen after death? Well, at least we have one certainty. If there is no certainty in this world that you may think of, there is one certainty. And that certainty is the certainty of death, that each one of us will die. that each one of us is going. So why not prepare for that time? And as we said, the best way of attaining certainty is to really understand, to wake up to the reality that we need to move towards God. And again, as we mentioned, that there are a number of things, three things in fact, that have no side effects as such. That maybe every name of God that you recite, the dhikr of La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, all of these things have a side effects, but there are three things which are mentioned by the Urafa, by those mystics, that have no side effects. And one of them, as we mentioned, was the Quran. And our debate was on the Quran and the necessity of reading the Quran to become one with the Quran. And so that's where I'd like to now start off where we left off yesterday. For a person to become Ahl with the Quran requires them to have a pure heart. And purity of heart really is gained through repentance. Now repentance, again, is not just verbal, it's also a state of being that a person who is Taib is in a state of being themselves. You have attained the level of repentance. In fact, you have attained the level of understanding that if you were to see repentance in the form of a du'a, it would go back to du'a kumail. To become one, to become, in a sense, a manifestation of repentance. And so this is achieved in terms of a state of being. This is really understanding what you've done, removing through recitals, Astaghfirullah, let's say, and then burning your heart, not in the physical sense, but burning your heart away from that sin, and making a promise with God not to do that again. In this way, you find that you purify yourself. Now, the best way of eradicating sins, like an active form of repentance, is when it is within itself fasting. And one of the reasons why fasting has been prescribed, in fact, throughout the year, I'll give you an example. On a Monday, it's recommended to fast. On a Thursday, it's recommended to fast. On, so the beginning Thursday of the month and the end and the middle. And so what you find is that there are various times which have been recommended for a person to fast. The reason being is that fasting eradicates your major sins. And so sometimes if you're having a problem in really removing those stains from your heart, this idea that tajarrud, this removal, is not taking place fast enough, the best way we can do it is through fasting. And so if you are fasting, and in this month everyone is fasting, it is the best time then to connect with the Quran. And as we mentioned yesterday, Quran is nur, and what we want is to apply that nur within our own hearts. Quran is the manifestation of the Creator. Within it lies the names and the attributes, the tajalliyat of God. And so we want to take that and we want to apply it within our heart. We want to manifest it within our heart. We want to understand Laylatul Qadr. We want to be able to have a manifestation of that night within ourselves. And so it's important then to connect with the Quran, but at the same time we've mentioned repentance is very important, the physical repentance, the repentance where you're fasting. But from that, the repentance of the consciousness. Your conscious needs to say to yourself that I am migrating back to the Creator and away from sin. You know, ultimately, what is sin? Very nicely it's been put. Sin is in fact as if you've been caged. When a person sins, it's as if he's been caged. And you've spent these last couple of days and nights in the state of fasting. It's been 24, 25 odd days now. For those people who have actively remained away from sin, when you look at a person sinning, when you look, say, let's say at a person who's drinking, or a person who's, let's say, going into a place where they shouldn't be going, it's almost as if that sin has caged them. You can almost see it. You can see that they're imprisoned. You can see they're imprisoned to their desires. They haven't emancipated themselves. But you, and even though we've been repenting these last couple of nights, and we're moving to a reality, and you've been fasting, and the side effects of this fasting almost is that you feel that you have been relieved. You have been liberated. And so when a person liberated looks at that person who is in vice, who is surrounded by their physical and sensual desires, you can then see that that person is caged. And we are here to develop ourselves, to get ourselves off the cage of the nafs, to release ourselves from the physical world, and to attach ourselves with alam-e mawara, this idea that you are going towards a metaphysical reality. And when you achieve this metaphysical reality, then the haqqaiq al-ashya, the idea that the realities of creation then are exposed to you. So really, to conclude, the lesson for today is to really ponder over the essence of repentance. Until tomorrow, take care of yourselves. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. رمضان تجلى وبدا سماء طبال العبد إذا ارتدى ما رمضان تجلى وبدا سماء طبال العبد. Giving iftar and inviting guests would of course only be rewarded if certain conditions are met and special etiquettes are practiced. The most fundamental condition is that the feast and iftari needs to be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention needs to be for achieving closeness with Allah and not for worldly desires such as showing off or any other reason. And this is why the host must not differentiate between poor and rich or invite people based on their social status or even their age. Otherwise, their action would not be of benefit to them. This is why having simple but friendly iftar gatherings and feasts are much recommended, and hence in a lot of Islamic centers and mosques, people from all backgrounds and colors are invited. They sit together and eat from the same food. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam states that it is very important that mu'mineen invite both rich and poor to their table of iftar, and they should not be differentiated.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. The holy month of Ramadan is the great opportunity to get to know Imam Ali عليه السلام as the martyr of this month. About his personality, his life and his death, about his teaching and his words. Let's remember that Muslim is not just a name, but it is a responsibility, it's a duty to follow Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his family, Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. There are many lessons to learn from them in the life, in the death. If Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the best example, is the excellent pattern for all of us, as Quran says, Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the best example for all of us. His family are the best examples as well. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says about Imam Ali alayhi salam that ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha, I am the city of knowledge. I am city of all knowledge. And Ali is the gate of the city. This is obvious that whoever wants to enter, to reach the city, to get the city, should go through this gate. أنا مدينة العلم وعلي بابها. This is Imam Ali alayhi salam's status in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's point of view. Suyuti is a great Sunni alim, has a book, tafsir book, interpretation book, Durrul Manthur. He says in his book about Imam Ali alayhi salam and Prophet. He narrated a hadith from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Prophet says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّ هَذَا وَشِيَتُهُ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. I swear to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man, means Imam Ali alayhi salam, and his followers, his Shia, are winning in the day of judgment. This is our responsibility, to follow him and learning from his teaching. So this is why I said Ramadan is the great opportunity to learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam. One thing is very important, that most of thinkers and scholars, Muslim or non-Muslim, said about Imam Ali alayhi salam, his personality, about his teaching, about his words, that Imam Ali alayhi salam's words, Imam Ali alayhi salam's personality has three unique characteristics. Literary eloquence and elegance, multidimensional nature and comprehensiveness, and finally, they said about influence of Imam Ali alayhi salam's words. This means that Imam Ali alayhi salam's words is really useful for all of us, not only in this time, forever, for any generation. Please allow me to finish this session with a story from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Someone asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, what is necessary, what is wajib, and what is more necessary, and what is more wajib? What is strange and what is more strange? What is hard and what is harder? If you were asked this question, how would you answer? Please think over these questions. Imam says, obeying Allah is wajib, but abandoning sins, ma'asiyat, avoiding sins and ma'asiyat is more wajib, is more necessary. Qiyamah is close, but death is closer. The word, this word, dunya, is strange, and love of dunya is more strange, is stranger. Hard is qabr, crave, and harder is going to there without any provision. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more tawfiq to be a real Shia and follower for this Imam, inshallah, in this month. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
When it comes to iftar feast, the last important advice is in regards to the acceptance of iftar invitation. Islamic teaching advises that people should not disrespect or disregard someone's iftar invitation. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam teaches us that it is not right to accept the invitation of, for example, important personalities, but when it comes to normal people or weaker people of the society, we disregard or refuse their invitation. Let's make sure we invite each other for iftar and benefit from the blessings which comes from such acts. For indeed, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam states that the sawab and reward of giving iftar to mu'mineen is equivalent to fasting in this month. For now, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.